Well, good morning and happy Easter. I'm coming to you today from the Great Hall at the church. I felt like it might be a good time for us all to remember what church looks like on the inside. So many of us would rather be here today than at our homes doing Easter Sunday in separate units. So welcome to the Great Hall at First Baptist Church of El Paso. This place has great memories for me. I remember the first time that Teresa and I walked up to this building and into this part of the building almost 3 years ago now, and it made a direct impact immediately for us about who this church is. I remember many times pre-Living Christmas Tree performances where this particular great hall is just packed with people. I remember last Easter as we gathered together here and families and children all over the place. It seems empty today without everybody here, but we worship anyway. And so on this Easter Sunday, there's something I want you to take with you today, and that is the question, how does the message of Easter affect me? When we unplug it all from the traditions that we have attached to it and we boil it down to the central message of Easter, how does that affect your life? We'll be working on answering that as we work through this service today. I do want to answer the obvious question some of you probably have already asked, and that is that we are keeping in line with the directives that we've been given from our government authorities. There's only a couple of us here, and as soon as this is over, we're going to head out and clean up behind us on our way out. So join us as we worship together today. Happy Easter. Typically, Easter sermons have a way of kind of focusing on the facts of the resurrection. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to begin this message that way. As we step back from all of the traditions and all of the busyness that happens this time of the year typically, we need to remember those facts. And so let's just rehearse a few of those quickly here at the beginning of this segment of our study. We know that Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross event and the Easter Holy Week has a way of pushing us back into those things that precede the resurrection. And so on Good Friday, we remember, and as one author says, we relive the crucifixion of Christ. But on Easter Sunday, we come back to underscore and to embrace the truth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified on a cross for our sins, was resurrected from the dead. Those are the basic facts. When we boil everything else down, that's what we get and that's what we're left with. And those are great facts for us to work with. But today, what I want to do is I want to take those facts and that kind of condensed part of what Easter is when we pull everything else off of it. And I want us to really kind of lean into what is the effect of that on us as Christians. Maybe many of you watching are not what you would call Christian, and that's fine. We're glad that you're here too, and there's a message in here for you and all of that. But for those of us who are Christians and we come to this Easter story, we want to take that next step, and we want to make sure that we take the message of Easter with us into our everyday lives. And so today what I want to do is a little bit different take on how we get to that. And that is, I want to look at one of the characters that bubbles to the surface of this resurrection story. And that's the person of Mary Magdalene. We're going to be in John chapter 20. And so I hope you have a Bible and you can grab it, and we'll be there in just a few moments. But we're going to essentially eavesdrop on Mary Magdalene for the next few moments, because I think what we find in her is us. I think I find myself in her. I think you should find yourself in her, and collectively we can look at this and go, okay, so I can see where maybe she's one of those people who part of the story that represent who we are. And so we can apply from her life what that is. Let me just give you a few things about her life, because she's one of the least likely people that we would expect God to use in such a big way. She's the first one who encountered the living Jesus Christ after his resurrection. What an incredible, honorary kind of experience for her. So let's just back it up and look at what we know about her. If you have a Bible that has a concordance in it, you can go check those passages. But she's in the Gospels, but she's not one of those high-profile people. Here's what we know about her, and there's some things that we'll take with that. She was marginalized by the very fact that she was a woman in first century Jewish life means that she was marginalized. She didn't really have much legal status when it came to being a witness for things and that kind of deal. So she was marginalized, but she was also stigmatized. Many scholars believe, and there's some good suggestion to say that she had been a harlot in her previous life, and Jesus saved her out of that. But Mark is very clear, and I think Luke says this also, but she is one that Jesus cast seven demons from. So here's a lady who lived just as a woman, stigmatized and marginalized, but then beyond that, she had these pieces of her life that don't mesh with what we normally would say organized religion endorses. And yet God chose her to be the one, to be the first one to encounter the risen Jesus Christ. We can even move beyond that with who she is and what she encountered in her life. And as we find it in this story we're about to read, she was hopeless. When Jesus died, this one who had been so much to who she was at that point, she goes to the tomb and she's extremely distraught. Let's follow along. I'm going to read John chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. We find her story. Here's what we find. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. By the way, this is Mary Magdalene he's talking about. Verse 12. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And she said, or Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. So did you find yourself in that story? Sometimes it's hard for us to do that, so let me just give you a few examples of how I think we find ourselves there. The first one is in verse 11. Here's a lady who was hopeless without Jesus, standing there weeping outside the tomb. The reason she was weeping was because he was gone. Hopeless. Is that you? Well, actually, it is all of us. Before we get to the cross event and before we get to the resurrection, as we'll talk about in just a few moments, we're all hopeless, whether we know it or not. Hopelessly lost in sin, hopelessly alone in this world without our Savior to take us through it. We can surround ourselves with people, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're part of that group. Hopeless is one of those things that I think captures us, especially as we look at our spiritual condition without Jesus. Verses 13 through 15, I find myself here more often than I want. I suspect that all of us could. In those verses, we find that she just doesn't recognize Jesus. That's a little bit of a hard truth to swallow, I think, sometimes. That Jesus is at work all around us, and so many times we just miss him. We go about our business and we get so busy and we miss the fact that he and the Holy Spirit is working in us and around us. It's easy for us to be like Mary Magdalene at that point and just totally miss who Jesus is as we're even dealing with him sometimes. Verses 13 through 15. As it relates to this pandemic, where we're all pretty well secluded away by necessity. I'm enjoying listening to church members as I talk to them on the phone or in some of our meetings and that are by Zoom. And I'm enjoying listening to people talk about how they're recapturing some of the simplicity of life that comes with this. Some of them are saying that we're slowing down enough to see God at work in places that we normally miss him. We're a little bit like Mary Magdalene with that, if we're not careful. Verse 18, especially when we put verse 18 with Mark chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, Mary Magdalene says, I have seen the Lord. I hope that that identifies you with her, but the truth is that there may very well be people watching this right now who cannot say that I have seen the Lord. We'll talk about that more in just a few moments, but I think it's a good point of connection for us to recognize that this woman, that God chose to be the first witness to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, represents us in a lot of different ways. So here are some questions that we're going to ask you to deal with as we now give you a few moments to do that, about 3 minutes, I think, if we're able to hold to that time limit. A couple of questions that I want you to either consider as you're there by yourself, or if you're in a room with a family or others, maybe you can discuss these things. So here's the first one. What are the essential components of Easter? As you come to this day, before we start talking about applying all of these things, do you identify, can you say, these are the key pieces of the Easter message? So talk about that. And then secondly, I think it would be a great exercise for each of us to describe our first encounter with the risen Jesus. A good time, maybe if you're a parent, for your children to hear how you came to know Jesus Christ. Maybe if you're there with some friends or watching somehow, maybe in a later conversation, rehearse a little bit how you first met the risen Jesus Christ. We'll give you a few minutes to do that now. So as it turns out, Mary Magdalene is a critical piece to the resurrection story. Why did God choose to use her as that first witness? Someone with the background that she had, someone with her social status, why did God choose to use her? And I think part of the answer for that is that most of us, I would say all of us in one way or another, can identify with her. And she allows us to have a place in that story. That we can easily be the Mary Magdalene of that first century event because we carry the same baggage into that that she did. But we also have that opportunity, and some of us have taken the opportunity, we have that opportunity to know Jesus like she did on a very personal level. What a great picture. And one of those people that often gets lost in all the traditions of Easter, and yet there she is, and there we are, just like her. I think we should probably pause a little bit and draw a few things from that that we can take with us, because what we're really after today is how does the message of Easter affect us and how do we move forward with that? So here's what we need to get. The message of Easter, as it's embodied in that lady, is first of all, we need to come back to those facts and we need to embrace those. The reason that she was there in the first place is because Jesus had transformed her life. And so we go back to our Good Friday message, and many of you had the opportunity to work through that just kind of a devotional guide that we sent out on Friday, where we look at other people, other disciples, during that cross event in Jesus. And as I said in that piece, what we find in the cross is so offensive that our sin is represented there that we just try to find some way to make it through to Easter. And so, you know, we've heard great preachers through the years, you know, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, those kind of comments. Those only mean something to us. And the resurrection only means something to us if we find ourselves at the cross too. And so that's the first place that we have to start. Our sin, my sin, and your sin made the cross necessary. And in that, Jesus died as a substitution for you and for me. Our sin nature and our sin itself is what drove God to say, I've got to get involved here at a level that they just can't help themselves. And so Jesus dies on a cross for our sins, and he takes the sin of the world upon himself. And that allows us to appreciate the resurrection. The cross itself represents the payment for our sin, but the resurrection takes us to a different point. Let me say it this way, and I want to make sure that you're hearing all of these things together. But when we come to the resurrection, we should understand that God wants more for us than just forgiveness for our sins. He certainly wants that. He wants that so much that Jesus died on the cross for that. Forgiveness of sin is critical for us. But God wants more than just forgiveness for our sins. He wants us to have life. And so here's where the resurrection comes in. The cross covers our sin penalty, or Jesus does on the cross, but the resurrection is truly a God move. I'll say that this way. Jesus was more than just a dead hero. Had he not resurrected from the dead, and that cross event still covered the cost of our sin, that would be an incredible benefit to all of us, enough that we would call him our hero in one way or another. But he's more than that. If he had stayed dead, he would have been just another hero. But he didn't stay dead. And so on this day in the resurrection, as we come to celebrate that, we recognize that when Jesus came back to life, he came back so that he could come back to work. And so the life that he gives to us, as evidenced in that resurrection, as evidenced in meeting Mary Magdalene in that cemetery, that life is what he gives to us. The forgiveness is critical. We have to reach out and embrace that and accept that. But he wants us to take with that the life that he offers as we go forward. So that's one of those places that we find with this Mary Magdalene image, this person who represents us. She has been at work with Jesus. Let me rephrase that. Jesus has been at work in her before this. It transformed her life. She went from being potentially a harlot to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. She went from being demon-possessed to walking with Jesus. And not just walking with him, but encountering him for the first time anybody ever did after that resurrection. It's an incredible message. And if we'll pause and let that sink into us as we find ourselves in her, then it helps us to personalize what Jesus did. Maybe a good question for you to deal with, just right there where you are, is, are you living that life? Have you embraced the cross and the forgiveness of sin that brings? And are you living the life that Jesus resurrected so that you might have? It's a great question, and it's one that drives us. And ultimately, it has to drive us to this question. So why did Jesus do all of that? Why did God put him through that? And the answer is clear in Scripture. It's clear with Mary Magdalene. It's clear from Paul's writing. It's clear from Jesus himself. It's clear from the gospel writer, John, who in John chapter 3, verse 16, I'll just kind of give you a condensed version of John 3, 16. Jesus died. He came to die because God loved us so much that he wanted us to have that life, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Interesting term, that one. Everlasting life. That doesn't sound like just forgiveness to me. Neither does that sound like eternal as in measuring time. It's also eternal as in measuring quality. We get, with Jesus' resurrection, the opportunity to share in the life that God designed for us from the very beginning of time. The one that sin destroyed in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus gives it to us. Paul says it this way, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The sin problem is taken care of, and Jesus gives us this transforming life. That's what Easter is about when you get right down to it. Mary Magdalene represents that, who she was before Jesus, who she was after Jesus, who she was after the resurrection. We find ourselves in that, and so in that cemetery that had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus himself. What a great thought to think about those hours just before Mary Magdalene showed up. But in that place, all of that, our sin problem, the solution for that, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the resurrection, all of those things, because of the love that God has for us, all of those things come to bear on one single word, Mary. I try to imagine how that word resonated in her ears. She's talking to somebody she thinks works there. But when the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, utters her name, it all comes into focus. She sees. She understands. She internalizes all of those things that lead up to Easter and are brought to bear because of the resurrection. It's a big moment in her life. And if we identify with her as we should, it's a big moment in your life. And this might be exactly that moment for you. What do you do with this whole thing about Easter? What effect does it have on you? You have to internalize it. You have to recognize God's love is for you. And in that, I push you to verse 18, which is actually our single text for this message. In verse 18, it says, Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. Can you say that today? Have you seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, we want you to be able to. And our phone here at the office is pushed to various people during the course of the week and even today. And if you, and we should have that on the screen for you here so that you can call. If you don't know this Jesus in a personal way, we want you to. And it involves acknowledging your sin, accepting Jesus as the Son of God, who is the only way for access to God for the forgiveness you need. If you don't have that, we want you to have it. Why would you not accept it when you know that the divine love, the same one who loved Mary Magdalene and transformed her life, offers you the exact same opportunity? We want you to have that. Give us a call. And by the way, go tell somebody. She went and told the disciples. Imagine their surprise when a woman was the first to see Jesus. Happy Easter.